Blog Talk Radio.
Valerie, thank you this morning for joining Mother Valerie and I as we move forward in the Word of God. For those that are just joining Moving Forward Movement, this is a Bible reading, Bible study vlog. And what we do is we read the Word of God, and our assignment is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. Again, Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. We are here Sunday through Friday with the Word of God, and we rest on Saturday. And the Word that God has given us is coming out of the Carl Stanley Bible. And when you hear us say life lessons, life questions, they are commentary from Dr. Charles Stanley. And the Bible, for those that I will suggest, and again, not paid by InTouch, or any of the Charles Stanley ministries, it is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible of the Year. And we are coming out of New King James. And I will tell you, it is one of the best Bibles to own in your biblical arsenal. This Bible is awesome. And it is a daily Bible that even if you're not listening in on this show, that you can read. And it will take you through the entire Bible, and it will make you think. Dr. Stanley is, God rest his lovely soul, made you think. You know, he didn't beat you up with the Word. He just spoke it. And so that's what we try to do. We don't beat you up with the Word. We just speak it. Because God's Word preaches itself. Hallelujah. We are grateful for it. And also, I am coming out of the 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And it is a prayer book. And every morning we try to come to you with a prayer to begin your day and with words of encouragement to begin your day. At the end of the show, we'll have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from the book, from her future book, The Gift. And it says this, releasing kindness. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Luke 6:35 ESV. Father, your kindness cannot be measured. You freely give out of the goodness of your heart, and I want to be just like you. Loving those who hurt and reject me and those I love is following your example. May I be one who gives without expecting anything in return. Doing good because that is who you are, and you are filled and you have filled my life with goodness. May I practice giving out of the abundance that you have given me, becoming more like you in your kindness. You don't ask for what you don't model. And I'm so grateful for the incredible ways you have loved me and poured out your mercy over my life. It is not too much to be generous. If I am a child of generous God, I pray that I would align myself in his, in this identity. I have been well taken care of. So taking care of others and giving to those around me is a natural reflection of the reality I live in. In my kindness, may others receive your kindness, Lord. And the question for this morning as we start is, who can you be intentionally kind to today? Think that through. Whatever you do, do it in love. Do it in kindness. Do it with God with you. Hallelujah. I thank God for every day coming with to us with this word of prayer. And as we pray, Father God in heaven, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Lord. Forgive us for all sins in thought, in deed, in word. Lord God, for just forgive us, God. We repent and ask you to give us a clean heart and a right spirit within us, Lord God. Wash us clean from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet with hyssop. Before we go into your word, God, keep us, Lord God, in your arms. Speak what you want us to speak, that we will not go past what you want us to do, God. But we are your humble daughters, asking you, Lord God, as always, to increase as we decrease, Father God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And we lift up this holy word, asking that someone who hears it, that it will touch their hearts, that it will touch their minds, that it will touch their spirits, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful morning. Quite beautiful.
It is a beautiful day. Gotta get a little warm, so dress accordingly, family. Dress accordingly. And today we are in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24 through verse 23. We are also our psalm this morning. We are starting the 28th psalm, verses 1 through 5. Our proverb today is from the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 18. And we are in the book of Mark, chapter 6. So, Mother Valerie, I am turning it over to you this morning. Take us to the throne in the Word of God.
Leviticus chapter 23. Chapter 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Lord's feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Unleavened bread is bread without leaven, that bread would rise. You know, you put yeast in it and the bread would rise up. But he said, don't do it. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. 7 days to be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest, that he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. You shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. His grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephod, a fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. And his drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. you shall eat neither bread nor fresh grain, nor fresh grain, until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the Sabbath, after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. There shall be a fine flour that shall be baked with leaven. That God is precise. He wants everything done exactly the way he wants it done. These are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer it with the bread, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with the grain offerings and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of goats as a sin offering and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord or the priest. You shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for a stranger. I am the Lord your God. God is always looking out for the poor, and he's saying the poor you have with you always, but he looks out for the stranger and the poor. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls. I wonder what that means, afflict your soul. Oh, I know what it means. Don't eat anything. It's like you don't eat food. An offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation and in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath, a solemn of rest, and you shall, on the 9th day of the month of evenings, from evenings to evenings, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Everybody should want to have a Sabbath rest. I mean, God had a Sabbath, and he wanted, we're made in his image. We're supposed to do like God do. If God rested, then he want us to rest. He really do. And look like you would want to rest. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days, you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation to the Lord, an offering made by fire to the Lord, burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering. Everything on this day, beside the Sabbath of the Lord, beside your gifts, beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you should keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there should be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of the leafy trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Look like you would want to do that for all the things that God have done for us. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You should keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It should be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You should dwell in the booth for 7 days. All who are native Israelites should dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting. Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. You should take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each roll, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be for Aaron and his son, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him from the offering of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Now the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israelite fought each other in the camp, and the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. Oh my God, that's something that you cannot do. You can't blaspheme the name of the Lord and live and curse. And say they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomite, the daughter of Deborah of the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp who has cursed. Then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. That's what I was saying. You cannot blaspheme the name of God. I mean, people, you have to be careful with your mouth. You have to be careful with what you're saying. You can't just say anything. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. And like I was saying, you have to be careful of what you say with your mouth. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good animal for animal. If a man calls disfigurement of his neighbor, as he has done so, it shall be done to him. Fracture for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused the disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. Whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the stranger, for one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they took outside the camp who had cursed and stoned him with stones. So the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. When you blaspheme the name of the Lord, you're going to be stoned to death. I mean, why would you want to do that anyway? And in back in the Old Testament, it was an eye for eye. You put out somebody's eye, somebody put out your eye. A fracture for a fracture, a tooth for a tooth. you cause disfigurement of a man, it'll be done to you. My goodness gracious me. I'm going over to life lessons. Leviticus 24 and 12, put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. It is always wise to wait to act until we can learn the mind of the Lord. If we truly want to know God's will, he will move heaven and earth to show it to us. I mean, this great God. I mean, can you imagine that if you want to just know God's will, he will move heaven and earth to show it to us. Wow. Life lesson. Leviticus 23 and 2. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. It is important to God that his people regularly come together to celebrate his goodness and provision. Something happens in the community that cannot happen in solitude. I guess that's why we go to church. We come together to celebrate God's goodness and to learn of God. It said it can happen. Something happens in the community that cannot happen in solitude. We have to come together. We have to come together to let people know. And you know, you want to come together, be with people of like manner. Everybody praising God. Power in praise. You know, and I thank God for his words. I mean, you have to be careful. You can't go around blaspheming God. I mean, you just can't do it. You can't do it in that day, and you can't do it in this day. For God is a good God, and you have to be careful of how you speak about God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. That's
wow,
good.
What a word. It's a good word. Because you think about it, we are blessed that we don't have to do with the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. Even though there are those out there that try to pull this, that's not from God. That's why Jesus came. So we don't have to do these things. So these things are not there. We are not stoning people to death. You know, we are loving our brothers and our sisters. You know, as the word this morning that, you know, about being kind. God wants kindness and love. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. And that question this morning, Mother Valerie, who can you be intentionally kind to today, is a question that we have to ask ourselves, you know, so far. You know, even if it's just sending a card to say, I'm sorry, I hope you're doing better today, or I heard about X, Y, and Z, and just wanted to let you know somebody's thinking about you. Somebody's praying about you. Those things go very far. But also, you got to remember one thing. And the title that God gave me 3 o'clock this morning was, cursed are those who blaspheme the name of the Lord. We cannot blaspheme the name of the Lord. We cannot do this like this Davarda did. This young man. Gonna talk all this stuff. You know, you got to be very careful. You know, you can't go cussing folks out because something may come out of your mouth that you cannot put back in it. So we need to really be very careful because the power of death and life is in this little thing behind the teeth called the tongue. We have to be careful how we use it. But I am coming to you from the book of Psalms this morning, the 28th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And it's a psalm of David. And it says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, come like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil in their hearts. Come on now. I call them those that are two-faced, speaking all love and kind to you, but talking about you behind your back. Girl, you look so cute. And then, you know, she had on that raggedy suit today at church. She knows she looked a hot mess. Girl, please. But they didn't tell you that. They didn't tell you that your slip was showing. They didn't tell you anything. They just wanted to talk about you. Instead of taking you aside and saying, sweetie, you got lipstick on your teeth. That's a friend. That's a true person that would tell you, you got lipstick on your teeth. Hallelujah. And it tells you, do not take me away with the wicked of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil in their heart. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness, excuse me, of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operations of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Oh, come on now. He who refuses correction goes astray. We got to be willing to receive correction from God, from our pastor, from whomever God sends to tell you about yourself. You got to be ready to receive it. Because you know when you're doing wrong, and you know when somebody tells you about it, that they're telling you the truth. We got to do what's right. And it says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Come on now. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. We got to be careful, Mother Valerie. We can't just go up willy-nilly saying anything, because there are folks that will try to pull you into conversation, you know, into wicked conversation, into conversation that you know you it's not even who you are. And then the next thing you know, you're saying something that you regret later. We got to be careful for who we are keeping contact with. I want to read this one more time. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. We don't slander each other. We don't talk about each other. Because understand, they get out there talking too much, wind up paying a whole bunch of money, because somebody can sue you if you're out there lying about them. With libel and slander, you got to be careful, because you may be paying some money. So we need to watch our tongue, watch what we say, because remember, you can get to talking so much that you don't realize you cursed the Lord. Cursed are those who blaspheme the name of the Lord. Folks blaspheming all over the place. And don't realize,
my Lord,
that they get let the mouth get to talking, Mother, and the rest of them forget who they belong to. We got to be careful. And as we go into our new King James, New Testament word, we're coming out of Mark chapter 6. And Mark is a powerful word. As we started in Mark, you know, I read Mark and I've read Mark, but you don't really look at Mark as you look at some of the other gospels. But when you think about it, it's like this young man is preaching. He is speaking. And, you know, and he's telling the same story that you saw in Matthew, that you see in Luke, that you see in John. It tells it in a different way, from a different perspective. And that's why I love the Gospels, because they tell the same story, but they tell it from a different view and a different perspective. And then sometimes they tell it exactly the same. But that's why you have to be careful of eyewitnesses in trials, because people see things differently. You know, when we read the Word of God, Mother Valerie, there may be something that I see or something that I catch that you don't catch, or there's something you catch that I don't catch. You know, so that
Amen.
Is why it's so important to read it yourself and to read it with others. I love this word. I do. I get all excited about the word of God. And then when we go to Mark, and it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country. And we read this in Matthew. And now we're reading it in Mark. And Mark is going to tell us the same thing that Matthew told us. And he says, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Now,
Amen.
Understand, if he had been a stranger, if he had not come from that region, he had not come from Galilee, he had not come from Galilee and Nazareth, he had not been one of theirs, he had not been the carpenter's kid and the carpenter, what would they have said? They were like, "Woo, he's awesome." They would have been following him just like everybody else. But because, wait a minute, you know, you can hear, Mother, as you close your eyes and go back, you can hear, "Wait a minute, isn't that Jesus? Isn't that Joseph's son? Wait a minute, isn't that the carpenter? Isn't that the carpenter's kid in my valley? Isn't that the carpenter's kid up there trying to preach up in this church? Girl,
my Lord.
You know, he was a little different. I heard that he was bringing birds back from the dead. That's, I don't know if it's true, but I did hear that. Who do you think he is? Girl,
Amen.
Please, ain't that time for all of that. That's Mary's son. Wait a minute, isn't that James's brother? Well, you know, I know Jose. I call him Jose, but I know it's Joseph. And Judas and Simon, I think those aren't those his brothers? And wait a minute, there's his sisters over there. So they were offended. They were offended. And remember that at that time, his family, his siblings, his mother and his father knew exactly who he was. But his siblings were younger than him, and they were not quite sure what was going on. They just knew he was different.
Amen.
And but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not on country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and give them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said this to John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. This is John, who I beheaded, who has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, his adulterous partner, is who she was. Ratchet is who she was. Just bad, but worse, because she didn't mind killing somebody. And Potiphar's wife was just a liar, but Herodias is a murderer. And it goes on to say, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her, because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was just and holy man. He was a just and holy man. And he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave the feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in
and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him. The king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. She must have danced like it wasn't nobody's business. She must have been doing some twerking and some shaking and some whatever else she was doing. But whatever it was, it had this old man who was her stepfather and her uncle getting all hot and bothered enough to say, I'll give you whatever you want. Now, most folks will want, you know, can I have, you know, some diamonds or some jewels or some gold or some silver. But in this case, she go listen to her mama, who was a hater. And it said, whatever you ask me, I would give you up to half my kingdom. You think about that. That little girl must have been doing some dancing. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Evil to the core. Because he told her about herself and she didn't like it. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And I don't know if they got his head back or not. Because this evil woman, only God knows what she would do with the head of John the Baptist. Just evil to the core, mother. Evil to the core. And when we go back to Mark chapter 6, verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. And it's Jesus. He's like, come on now, y'all supposed to be my family. And it says unbelief always causes Jesus to marvel because he knows that the God who asks us to trust him is almighty, all-wise, all-present, all-loving. Why would someone not trust God? The very idea is beyond understanding. Why would you not trust God?
Amen.
Because it's the carpenter's kid? Because it's the carpenter? Because it's the one that made the table? The one that made the stall in your barn, or the one that built your house. So you can't trust that he is the Son of God. And every time you walk into your house, every time you lay into the bed that he made, you just feel a warmth. You feel kindness. You feel love. You feel peace. You feel joy because the carpenter made it. And now he's preaching in the synagogue. He's now a rabbi. But you can't put your faith in him because he was the carpenter. Because his mother's name was Mary. And his father was Joseph the carpenter. And those are his siblings, his brothers, and his sisters. So how is he preaching? How's he preaching? You know, I was listening to somebody yesterday doing a commentary on preachers. And there was a preacher in the Carolinas, I think North Carolina, who had got up in the pulpit and made a comment that a woman who may have been dressed a certain way deserved to be raped or molested.
Oh, my Lord.
Because she was asking for it because of how what she had
on.
And he preached this nonsense from the pulpit. And when he got called out on it, but first he says, well, I know some of y'all are not going to like what I have to say, but this is what God said. Now, God has not said that. To have on is what makes men rape you or molest you. And then he backed it up after he got called out because it wound up on social media. And he couldn't lie it out. He had to say, I'm sorry. if God gave it to you, then it didn't make a mistake. Am I right, Mama? If God
Amen.
Gave it to you, you didn't make a mistake. But God
no.
didn't give you that mess. That was something you were saying yourself. You know, we got to be careful, as Mother has told us many a time, who we go in and follow, what churches we go in. Jesus was preaching the good news. He wasn't preaching anything awful or bad. He was preaching the good news. He was preaching a word, saying do was coming from the word of God, because he preached Elijah. He preached Isaiah. He preached the whole entire five books of the Bible, the first five. He preached the books of Moses. He told the story. He spoke with knowledge. He knew who he was because he was there at the beginning. He knew who Adam and Eve were. He knew who David was because David even spoke, my Lord. He knew who he was. And then he came to this awful planet, this wicked world.
Man.
To take our sinful selves to the cross. But yet the people who knew him best couldn't believe he was who he said he was. Couldn't believe that he spoke a word from the Father. He was the carpenter. He was the son of Mary. And those were his sisters and his siblings. Because he was probably telling some of them about themselves that they didn't like it. Because one of the questions was, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed
mm-hmm.
by his hands? Which meant he must have healed some people. He must have done some things. And then there's always that one. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that the carpenter? Girl, he made my cousin's bed. They said it's the best bed they ever slept in. Wait a minute. Oh, hold on. Didn't he build Sister Joanne's house? She said it's like a calmness when she walks into her house. But I think that's the carpenter that built her house. So what's he doing up here in the synagogue? I heard he's a rabbi. I don't know how he's a rabbi. Where did he get trained? Did he get trained in Jerusalem? Who does he know that he can preach all that stuff? How does he know? I didn't know he could read. I didn't know he knew the word. We know how people can be. Don't we must. Folks want to start saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. You know, I'm sure that it took all. It probably hurt his heart. The people he loved the most. Didn't want to believe, didn't want to see, didn't want to know who he was. Instead, they had their own feelings, their own, isn't that such and such? Isn't that the carpenter? And then I love how it says, unbelief always causes Jesus to marvel because he knows that the God who asks us to trust him is almighty. All wise, all present, all love. Someone not trust God. The very idea is beyond understanding. How can you not trust God? And then when we talk about what the Bible says about John the Baptist, a man of discernment. Because John was able to discern everything about folks. He'd just look at you and know who you was. He'd look mm-hmm. at you and know what spirit was in you. He knew Jesus, even though he was his cousin, he still knew him. John was the one, when you go into Matthew, and it talks about the story of Christ. John was the one that leaped in his mother's womb. Come on now. Jumped and shouted. Mary walked in 3 months pregnant. And what happened? That baby was leaping for joy in his mother's womb. Come on now. And it goes to say, what would you think of a man who lived alone in the desert wore camel skin and ate wild honey and locusts. I said he was eating honey and bugs. And we all know, if we knew somebody dressed like that out in the wilderness, we'd say, you know he great-grandmother. Mama, that boy is great-great. He out there in the desert and going into the Jordan, putting people in the water. What's wrong with John? Well, you know that's Elizabeth and Zechariah's kids. You know, he touched. Because, you know, his daddy didn't even talk from him. You know, his daddy went mute before he was born. And then when he got his tongue back and was able to speak again, he said that the man, that his name would be John. Come on now. That's why he looks different. That's why he's different. Eating bugs out there. And then it goes on, Dr. Stanley asks us, and how would you feel if this man said you needed to let God change your life? Just like with Jesus and the folks in his hometown. I'm sure there were folks that say he's crazy. Folks that say John is crazy. Talking about you need to let God change your life. What John know about that? Because he was a prophet. Because he was a man born to God. He was a gift from God to his parents in their older age. And it says you can see why many people who heard about John the Baptist went to see him out of sheer curiosity. But John was no lunatic, and neither was his message his own. For almost 30 years, God prepared John to announce the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John was a man of great spiritual discernment who knew the difference between those who came with humble, repentant hearts and those who came to mock or criticize. When you ask God for discernment, he gives it to you freely. For those who truly seek his faith and his direction for their lives, the Lord brings a wisdom that can come only from him. We have to pray for discernment. We have to pray for wisdom. Because, again, wisdom and discernment take you a lot farther. Because when you have wisdom and you have discernment, you don't get caught in the okey-doke. And so you have to pray for it. Lord, give me wisdom like Solomon. Give me discernment like John the Baptist. Father God, help me to see past the surface of things, to see past what someone is saying, but to see their heart. Father God, help me. Please help me. Help me to do better, be better, and know better. In Jesus' name. Mother Valerie, do you have anything? Because that is all we have this morning, and a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn.
Amen. You know, it said, and whoever kills a man, you shall be killed. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was done back in the Old Testament day, and it still goes for this day. The death penalty is in most city. You know, if you kill somebody, you get put to death. So you have to be careful. And blaspheming the Holy Ghost, you better be careful. I mean, God's word is just good. God wants things done his way, exactly his way. And we really should, because God is Father God. We're betrothed to him. He made us. We did not make ourselves. And look at all the wonderful things he do for you. You don't wake up by a clock. God wakes you up. And, you know, going to sleep is just like death. It's like being dead to me when you go to sleep because you don't know anything. I mean, waking up is amazing. It's like coming back from death. You go to sleep, you close your eyes, and you sleep. And then all of a sudden you wake up. It's like being born again or coming back from death. Everything that God do is just amazing to me. I see God in everything. I see God in the trees, the birds. I see God in myself when I go and look in the mirror, how God made us in his own image, in his own likeness. I mean, how can you be an atheist when you can see God everywhere? God is just
Amen.
Good. He's a great God. He's everything. He's all that in a bag of chips. God is
I
really,
like that.
Really
yes,
good.
He is. You know what?
So
if you want to turn
say,
God is yummy, Mother. God is yummy. He just makes it feel
he's
good.
God
makes it. He just makes you like say, thank you. It's like a warmth that comes over you that you feel like, ooh, I feel hot. And your fingers tingle. Your body just tingles because you're in the presence of God. And it just makes you light up and feel better. Ooh, it's just nothing like it. But we still know we got to be careful of what we say. You know, folks cursing and don't understand that you may be blaspheming the name of the Lord. Because there are some curse words that are blasphemous. And you out there
Amen.
Just cussing and fussing and using words that are blasphemous. And you don't understand. You're raining curses on yourself. We've got to be
Amen.
Careful what we say and what we do. And Sister Carolyn came with a word this morning. Know this. Every decision that you make will determine what your destiny will be. Come on now. When you let God lead, you make wise choices. A terrific Tuesday. We got to learn how to let God lead. I can tell you. As Pastor spoke on Sunday, follow the cloud and not the crowd. Don't try to get up in front. Because remember, what does it say in the Word of God? Wide is the gate. That wide gate. Is the gate that the crowd is going through because it's a party over there. Hey, you can hear the music coming. You can see everybody throwing down. Ooh, they getting a wobble on. They getting their Texas Hold'em on. They doing all that stuff. They got it going on at the wide gate. I'm going to follow the crowd. That little narrow gate over there, there's a cloud over it. And there are just a few people going through there where the cloud is. But you want to follow the crowd and not the cloud. And when you go through that narrow gate, there's beauty. There's holiness. There's worship. There's praise. There's a feeling of just a nice, cool breeze on a hot day. It's just magnificent. But you don't know until you get through following that beautiful cloud. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not that big old crowd. But everybody's following the group because it is smoking over there. You don't know that the smoke is you as you breathe of the holiness of God. All you can hear is the trumpets blasting and you hear the choir singing. And you know, I'm following that cloud. Hallelujah. Following the cloud and not the crowd. I love that word. Thank you, Pastor Jesse, for Sunday morning. Great word. And I just say today, we trust in God. And we pray for wisdom and discernment. As Sister Carolyn elegantly put it all together, every decision that you make will determine what your destiny will be. And many of us don't look at the future. We see where we are today, not knowing that 10 years, 15 years, 20 years makes a difference. When you let God lead, you make wise choices. So are you letting God lead you today? Are you trusting in God today? Are you blaspheming and cursing yourself? Let God be. Let's trust him. Let's know that when it comes to whatever you're going through, trust the Lord and let him lead and watch him work in your life. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Mother Valerie, pray us out. And Mother Rita, it's a wrap.
You know what? I was thinking that God tells us to teach our children. You have to teach the children so they will know.
Yeah.
And that's why right now we have so many children at Table of Life Ministries because the children,
yes,
they need to be taught. They don't know.
Amen.
And we're the ones that have to teach them so they don't blaspheme or sin against the Lord so they can have a long life. And I was telling my nephew, Chase, if you curse your mom and your dad, just curse your mom and dad, and you're going to be stoned to death. He didn't believe that that was in the Word of God, but it's there. You can't go around cursing your mom and your dad. They brought you into the world. And that's who brought us into the world, Abba, our Father. He brought us. So you can't blaspheme his name. It's the same thing. You have to be careful, folks. You just have to be careful how you live this life. You can live it for God or you can live it for the devil, but you have to be careful if you're living it for God. There are certain things in his word that are precise. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Clean and unclean. Build the temple a certain way. Everything is done decently and in order. And God wants it like that. He wants it that way. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Do what God say to do, and you shall be blessed. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you for another day. You did it again, and I am so grateful. When I can't say anything else, I can say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Glorify your name. I lift you up because you are holy. You're holy, God, and you want your children to be holy. I thank you for this day. Bless Pastor Bridget as she goes along to her job, and bless Pastor Jesse, Pastor Michelle, all the pastors. And, God, we will praise you. We will give you honor. We will give you glory, for you have given us another 24 hours to get it right, to get it right. You let us live, God. And we just thank and praise you. We thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We bow our will to your will. And bless us as we go along this day. In Jesus' name, bless Carolyn and all my family and all pastors' family. And God, we will give you the glory, the honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the healing of your children. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes,
and Tracy, be
in
healed
name.
And be blessed. In Jesus' name. It's a wrap.
In Jesus' name. It's a wrap.
Love
it
you, Mother Valerie. Have a great day.
You too, Pastor.
Have
it's a wrap.
Rest. It's a wrap.